Big ideas. Commit to be your best. Extraordinary results happen only when you give the best you have to become the best you can be at your most important work. This is, in essence, the path to mastery, and because mastery takes time, it takes a commitment to achieve it. Be purposeful about your one thing. Move from E to P. Go on a quest for the models and systems that can take you the farthest. Don't just settle for what comes naturally. Be open to new thinking, new skills, and new relationships. If the path of mastery is a commitment to be your best, being purposeful is a commitment to adopt the best possible approach. Take ownership of your outcomes. If extraordinary results are what you want, being a victim won't work. Change occurs only when you're accountable. So stay out of the passenger seat and always choose the driver's side. Find a coach. You'll be hard-pressed to find anyone who achieves extraordinary results without one.
Remember, we're not talking about ordinary results. Extraordinary is what we're after. That kind of productivity eludes most, but it doesn't have to. When you time block your most important priority, protect your time block, and then work your time block as effectively as possible, you'll be as productive as you can be. You'll be living the power of the one thing. Now you just have to avoid getting hijacked.
Chapter 17, The Four Thieves. John Carmack said, "Focus is a matter of deciding what things you're not going to do."
In 1973, a group of seminary students unknowingly participated in a grand study known as the Good Samaritan Experiment. These students were recruited and divided into two groups to see what factors influenced whether or not they would help a stranger in distress. Some were told they were going to prepare a talk about seminary jobs. The others, that they were going to give a talk about the parable of the Good Samaritan, a biblical story about helping people in need. Within each group, some were told they were late and had to hurry to their destination, while others were told they could take their time. What the students didn't know was that researchers had planted a man along the way. He was slumped on the ground, coughing, and apparently in distress. In the end, fewer than half the students stopped to help. But the deciding factor wasn't the task, it was time. 90% of the students who were rushed failed to stop and render aid to the stranger. Some actually stepped over him in their hurry to get where they were supposed to go. It didn't seem to matter that half of them were on their way to deliver a talk on helping others. Now, if seminary students can so easily lose focus on their real priority, do the rest of us even have a prayer? Clearly, our best intentions can easily be undone. Just as there are six lies that will deceive and mislead you, there are four thieves that can hold you up and rob you of your productivity. And since there's no one standing by to protect you, it's up to you to stop these thieves in their tracks.
The Four Thieves of Productivity.
The first thief is the inability to say no. Second is the fear of chaos. The third is poor health habits. And the fourth thief is an environment that doesn't support your goals.
Thief 1. The inability to say no.
Someone once told me that one yes must be defended over time by 1,000 no's. Early in my career, I didn't understand this at all. But today, I think it's an understatement. It's one thing to be distracted when you're trying to focus. It's another entirely to be hijacked before you even get to. The way to protect what you've said yes to and stay productive is to say no to anyone or anything that could derail you. Peers will ask for your advice and help. Co-workers will want you on their team. Friends will request your assistance. Strangers will seek you out. Invitations and interruptions will come at you from everywhere imaginable. How you handle all of this determines the time you're able to devote to your one thing and the results you're ultimately able to produce. Here's the thing. When you say yes to something, it's imperative that you understand what you're saying no to. Screenwriter Sidney Howard of Gone with the Wind fame advised, "One half of knowing what you want is knowing what you must give up before you get it. In the end, the best way to succeed big is to go small. And when you go small, you say no. A lot more than you might have ever considered before." No one knew how to go small better than Steve Jobs. He was famously as proud of the products he didn't pursue as he was of the transformative products Apple created. In the 2 years after his return in 1997, he took the company from 350 products to 10. That's 340 no's, not counting anything else proposed during that period. At the 1997 Macworld Developers Conference, Jobs explained, "When you think about focusing, you think, well, focusing is saying yes. No. Focusing is about saying no." Jobs was after extraordinary results, and he knew there was only one way to get there. Jobs was a no man. The art of saying yes is, by default, the art of saying no. Saying yes to everyone is the same as saying yes to nothing. Each additional obligation chips away at your effectiveness at everything you try. So the more things you do, the less successful you are at any one of them. You can't please everyone, so don't try. In fact, when you try, the one person you absolutely won't please is yourself. Remember, saying yes to your one thing is your top priority. As long as you can keep this in perspective, saying no to anything that keeps you from keeping your time block should become something you can accept. Then it's just a matter of how. All of us struggle to some degree with saying no. There are many reasons. We want to be helpful. We don't want to be hurtful. We want to be caring and considerate. We don't want to seem callous and cold. All of this is totally understandable. Being needed is incredibly satisfying, and helping others can be deeply fulfilling. Focusing on our own goals to the exclusion of others, especially the causes and the people we value the most, can feel downright selfish and self-centered, but it doesn't have to. Master marketer Seth Godin says, "You can say no with respect, you can say no promptly, and you can say no with a lead to someone who might say yes. But just saying yes because you can't bear the short-term pain of saying no is not going to help you do the work." Godin gets it. You can keep your yes and say no in a way that works for you and for others. Of course, whenever you need to say no, you can just say it and be done with it. There is nothing wrong with this at all. In fact, this should be your first choice every time. But if you feel there are times you need to say no in a helpful way, there are many ways to say it that can still lead people forward toward their goals. You can ask them a question that leads them to find the help they need elsewhere. You might suggest another approach that doesn't require any help at all. You might not know what else they could do, so you could help them by gently prompting them to get creative. You can politely redirect their request to others who might be better able to assist them. Now, if you do end up saying yes, there are a variety of creative ways you can deliver it. In other words, you can leverage your yeses. Help desks, support centers, and information resources couldn't exist without this kind of strategic thinking. Pre-printed scripts, frequently asked question pages or files, written explanations, recorded instructions, posted information, checklists, catalogs, directories, and pre-scheduled training classes can all be used to effectively say yes while still preserving your time block. I started doing this in my first job as a sales manager. I leveraged training sessions to cut frequently asked questions off at the pass, and then by either printing or recording them, I created a library of answers my team could access whenever I wasn't personally available. The biggest lesson I've learned is that it helps to have a philosophy and an approach to managing my space. Over time, I developed what I refer to as the 3-foot rule. When I hold one of my arms out as wide as possible from my neck to my fingertips is 3 feet. I've made it my time-managing mission to limit who and what can get within 3 feet of me. The rule is simple. A request must be connected to my one thing for me to consider it. If it's not,